Father, we ask that you would take this time and use it to our edification. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for your provision and the gifts that you've given. We thank you for Dan and Rachel and their ministry down there. And Father, we ask that you would bring many unsaved people to the Savior through them, and that they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we ask that you'd open the word up to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in Revelation 21, but mostly out of it, and looking at that verse in Revelation 21, verse 5, you don't need to go there, but the Lord says, "Behold, I am making all things new." I just wanted to make sure that we all understand, and this is what we've been looking at, that this newness, this new thing that God is doing starts way, way back in the Word of God. And there's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and we looked at that. And in relationship to that, there is the old tabernacle and temple and the real one in heaven and the new way of entering that temple through the veil, which is the torn flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, or his death on the cross for us. And then we looked at, there's also the wonderful thing for us is there's a new creature, a new creation, that God has made us new creations. When we put our faith in Christ, he causes us to be different than we were and causes us to be born again. And the thing that I noted as I was going through that, it fits right in with what we just heard, is that over and over again, the new creation, this new person, is exhorted to good works. Now, the thing is interesting, in Scripture, you can study good works and find that God says, no, never. You know what I'm talking about? And then you can find, under the same topic of good works, yes, always, okay? Let me show you that. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. It starts off, the first three verses describe our lost condition. Let me read it. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, the lost, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh, of the old sin nature and of the mind, and were by nature, because of all that, children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now notice, verse 8, "For by grace, God's favor to those who don't deserve it at all, deserve just the opposite. For by grace you have been saved through faith, believing in, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and notice, and that not of yourselves," it's not what you give to God, okay? "It is the gift of God, what you receive from God by faith," notice, "not as a result of works." So the no in the works or good works is you cannot be saved by good works. So religions of the world believe that those that go to heaven because they're good people. You find that as much in Tillamook County as anywhere else. It's just all over the place. Okay, good people go to heaven. I've never been to a funeral where they implied anything other than that the person went to heaven. You know what I mean? Whoever said, "Well, this one wasn't good." That's the idea of basically what it comes down to, is everybody goes to heaven pretty much. And that's also crept into the church in some places, a universal salvation approach. But at any rate, it goes on right from that verse, "not as a result of works." Our salvation is not by works, "that no one should boast." Okay. Boasting is out because we are all saved by receiving the gift of the new birth, salvation, forgiveness, no condemnation. It was given to us. We didn't do anything to get it. All we did was believe that God was offering it, and then we received it by faith. But notice the very next verse says this. Now, once we are saved, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Is that amazing? No good works for salvation. As soon as you are saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, your whole new life in Christ is to be a life of good works. Huge, huge latitude as to those good works. Okay. In other words, God uses you and me in different ways, and it's a wonderful thing. Okay. Then let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, coming down to verse 6. Now here Paul's talking, there was a famine back in Jerusalem. Of course, that's where our Lord was and where he died and rose again. And Paul is talking about that there is a tremendous need back in Jerusalem. The church is spread out all over the place through the Apostle Paul in many ways. And he is trying to encourage people to support the people back there who have a genuine need, their brothers and sisters in Christ who have a need back in Jerusalem. Okay, and so he says this, wonderful principles. Now, I'm not at all saying that all good works have to do with giving, although maybe I could change that and say, you're going to be given something. You know, you're going to be giving of yourself, you're going to be giving of your time, you're going to be giving, and sometimes of your money as God leads. But this is what he says. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. You know the idea, picture the guy with the sack full of seed, and what's he doing? He's throwing seed out onto the ground. And if a guy goes out and he does it like a pinch of salt and walks away, can he expect this huge harvest? Versus the man who goes out and he keeps loading up the sack and he keeps throwing the seed out. I mean, it's clear. It's just a principle of nature that Paul is using as an illustration. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And I love verse 7. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart. In other words, this is between you and the Lord. You know what I mean? I love the way Dan and Rachel, there's no pressure here. But at the same time, we have to know what the opportunities are. We have to know where the needs are. You can't just keep quiet about those. And so, but there's no pressure. This is between you and the Lord. You can say, no way. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not going to be on you, you know. But as the Lord leads, and so it says, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly. You know your giving is not right when you're just gritting your teeth as you're writing the check or handing out the money. You know, do you think God can raise money? It's not like he's in a bind. He's given the opportunity to us to share what is his already. I was just reading this verse in my Bible reading this week about, he says, the gold and the silver is mine. You know, the whole planet's his. The whole universe is his. Okay. And we're simply those who have been given the place of stewardship. Okay. Let each one do just as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. That's a huge thing in the church today. In other words, that somebody gets up and puts everybody under compulsion. You know what I mean? And maybe even say, did you give or not? You know? And that's a compulsion. That's a compulsion means it's you're compelling, you're demanding, you're making a statement that you have to do this. And so the word says, check these two things out. Are you grudging this? Do you feel under compulsion? Well, then you're not walking with the Lord and thinking correctly about this, that this is a that this is an opportunity to serve him and enter into good works. Okay. And then what does it say? For God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God loves somebody that just says, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. and I'm on it. Okay. All right, then it says, now get this, and God is able to make all grace his favor to you. And this would seem to be in this place, in the context of the giving, okay? For God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you get what he's saying there? God is able to order your life in such a way that as a cheerful giver, God is keeps you able to be that cheerful giver, that you have a sufficiency. Okay? And then it says, always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Having the extra, you got to support, we all understand, you got to pay the rent, you got to, buy your gas, you got to, get your groceries and so forth. Everybody's got to deal with that. Okay? But God also, in so many cases, has, and there's another passage, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but there's another passage where the Lord speaks, really all I care about is your attitude, And if you want to give and you don't have it to give, that's the same as giving. Okay, pretty interesting. Any rate, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that having always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now get this, verse 10. Now he, capital H, God, now he who supplies seed to the sower, going to be that bountiful sower, you got to get the seed from somewhere, and the Lord says, I give it, okay. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, we need that too, right? Okay. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, all in the context of what? Giving. And increase the harvest of your righteousness. I don't know how all this works, but someday when we stand before him, I think it's going to be very apparent as to what happened when you gave. What happened when you spoke that word? What happened when you passed out? There's so many times that we do something in the area of good deeds and we have no idea where it went. Do you know what I mean? We have not a clue where it went. To us, it just like fell flat. But God knows. And I believe someday somebody's going to walk up and throw their arms around you. I don't know how that'll work, but and say, thank you for sharing the gospel, or thank you for just speaking that word. It got me thinking. You ever have that happen? You don't even remember you talked to the person. And then they say, well, thanks, because that got me thinking about this. And then it's led to that. And you don't know how God uses those things. But at any rate, there is a harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. All of this, the people getting it are saying thank you. The people who are giving cheerfully are saying thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. There's that time in the Old Testament where they were bringing in all of the things that they had walked away from Egypt with when God gave them all that 400, I like to think of it as their 400-year wages as slaves. And Moses said, by God's command, tell the people that want to give for this tabernacle, for the building of the tabernacle, gold, silver, bronze, all kinds of things. And they started to do that. And after a while, the builders and the makers of the things, the artisans, came to Moses and says, there's way more than enough. And I think it's really interesting. Moses, by God's command, gave this word, stop, don't bring any more. And I love that because you don't always have an opportunity to. You ever been in a situation where you got a little extra something and you wonder, where should I use this? Where should this go? Okay. It takes opportunity, and you can be in a place where you don't have that opportunity, so we ought to be thankful for the times when we do have the opportunity. Let's close. Father, how we thank you for your word, and how we thank you for the, oh, Lord, we just stand so blessed as a people. in this nation that we live in, and when we think of the wealth that we have in comparison to the average person on the face of the earth and the average person down through history, oh Lord, you've given to us way above and beyond, and how we thank you for that. But Lord, may we be mindful of stewardship and how we can best serve you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.